It's time to turn your garden into a smart garden on News Radio 830 WCCO. Smart Gardens, an hour of expert advice and answers to all of your lawn and gardening questions. You can call 989-9226 or text us at 81807. Now, here's Denny Law with this week's Smart Garden.
Yes, I know it's 10 below, but we're still going to talk about lawns
balmy
and gardens.
Balmy out there. It's balmy.
52 weeks a year we do this. Thanks to the help of folks like Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M Extension. Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. And I know
Thank you, you brought a friend with that we'll
introduce in a moment. But we want to allow our listeners to ask you the questions of Julie, either by phone or by text, as usual. So let me give the numbers first. Should
yeah,
we do that?
Go for it.
651-989-9226. If you want to call in your garden question, lawn or garden question, say lawn. We'll talk lawns.
We will.
Yeah. We're going to talk more in the spring when Sam is here.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Or thereabouts.
Sam's been a busy guy.
But the text number, I should mention that too, is 81807, 81807. Now, who's the weather person you were telling us about with that spread of temperature?
So Mark Seely is, I think he actually technically retired, but he still writes his Weather Talk blog. And it... He reported on the month of December in Minnesota, and he tells you all sorts of fascinating, amazing things about weather and climate and all of the changes. He's a climatologist. And he noted that in December in Minnesota, we have had a difference of 109 degrees in temperature.
For the month of December.
So we've gone from the high in, I think it was Albert Lea, I think he said, was 64 degrees in the early month. Down to like minus 45 in Barris.
I mean, there's that
much of a spread.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just for the month of December, just for Minnesota.
Minnesota, just month of December. You can read it on his blog, Weather Talk.
Ooh. Well, I have good news. We've gained 2 degrees. It's now 8 below.
Woohoo! We're in the
I'm looking for
digits.
That silver lining.
Below 0, single digits. All right.
But if you do have a lawn or garden question, please, and you know, don't wait because we always tend to get busy. And I want to mention, too, that our friends at By the Yard down there in Jordan, Minnesota, they're the ones that sponsor this show. We really appreciate that. And we appreciate them and their furniture. By the Yard patio furniture, the best. Now, you brought someone with you.
I brought a colleague of mine. I brought Diane DeWitt. She is from the Mankato area, and she's an extension educator in swine, actually, livestock. Right. And she was the former local educator who oversaw the Master Gardener program in Blue Earth and Lesser counties.
Yeah.
And she actually has a special message today. So I wanted to – she was in town, and I said, come on the radio and give us that message. So go ahead, Diane.
Well – my special message. First of all, thanks for having me here. And Julie and I are part of the professional association, the Minnesota Association of Extension Ag Professionals. And that is extension folks who work in horticulture and agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here representing them today because every year they honor someone who has distinguished themselves in support and collaboration and cooperation with the University of Minnesota Extension. And today I'm here to thank you, Denny, for all that you've done here with the Smart Garden Program and all that you do to support Extension, the University of Minnesota Extension, and our resources, and to honor you as our MAEAP 2018 Friend of Agriculture.
What?
Ooh, surprise!
I had no idea. This was a shock.
He's blushing, folks.
Oh,
it's hard to fool Denny.
I thought you were going to say Julie.
No.
Are you kidding?
Well, Julie does a great job, too. But we appreciate your leadership in for more than 5 years of Smart Garden. And, you know, we know that this program has connected thousands of radio listening folks.
Maybe millions.
And I'm not just saying in Minnesota, too, with the University of Minnesota Extension resources, both in ag and horticulture, but also beyond that, because we all know that when you go to University of Minnesota Extension website, a lot of times you delve into further things beyond
Absolutely.
The subject matter. But I also want to thank your WCCO Radio 830 team working with Smart Garden. And also want to thank our University of Minnesota Extension horticulture specialists that come to Smart Garden with you, Sam Bauer and Mary Meyer and Master Gardener Teresa Rooney,
yes,
our friend Julie here.
Ooh.
But again, thanks so much, Denny, for all that you do in support. And I have a plaque here, too.
You do? My goodness.
Too bad we can't show it on the air. But
I hope that we can get a picture later.
Yeah.
As long as it's not a gold watch. I'm not ready for that yet.
No, no gold watch.
Okay. Yeah, sorry about that.
Let's see that. Wow, look at that.
This is
what a total shock. Thank you very much.
That's a beaut, Clark.
That is gorgeous. Look at that.
Yeah, so,
I still have an office to hang it up in.
I was glad to hear that.
Thank you.
Again, thank you, Denny, for all that you've done in support of University of Minnesota Extension in both horticulture and agriculture.
Well, Diane, thank you. And it's always been my pleasure. And the listeners love all the work that you guys do. Come in every week. You do all the heavy lifting.
Oh, I don't know.
The old joke is I just read the meters. And that's all. That's it. Thanks, Diane. Thanks to all of your colleagues, too. It's very nice. What a nice surprise. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm taken aback here.
And Dennis, our engineer, who's been doing this, oh, man, I think all 6 years except for a short stint in there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He was off doing something else. So, yeah.
Wow.
And Al, who's, does the podcasts and from the spring. And, boy, and CCO for having us on the air. So we just really appreciate
it. Nice team. It's a nice team. It's
works out well.
It really does.
Mm-hmm.
Teresa's saying congratulations. Sam Bauer's saying congratulations.
Oh, good. They're awake.
They're awake. That's good.
Way to go, team.
All right. I'll tell you what let's do. Let's take a break here. I'm buying coffee for everybody. Oh, Teresa, let's see.
Oh, yeah.
Teresa's on line one. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Denny.
Do you have a gardening question?
No, I'm going to let you do all the gardening questions. I can't even, my brain's too frozen to even think about a gardening question right now. But, Denny, I just wanted to congratulate you and thank Dennis and Al and everybody at WCCO. You guys do a great job. And we really appreciate your support and everything you do. And thank you and congratulations.
Oh, geez, this is stupid. And I don't even have makeup on. Okay.
But you still look beautiful. You're still gorgeous.
Teresa, thanks for taking the time. And I know we'll be seeing each other soon.
We will. Okay. Happy New Year, everybody.
Thank you. That's Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener, that helps us out from time to time.
By the way, she volunteers for this. This is
how neat is that?
Volunteers. So we really appreciate that.
Well, it's much appreciated. Now, I have to regain my composure here. And are we going to put Diane to work, maybe?
I don't know. It's up to her.
We'll see. No pressure. No pressure. We'll make them softball questions.
She might be heading out, but it's up to her. She's welcome to stay.
Let me give our phone numbers again and the text number, and then we'll take a break and be right back. If you have a lawn or garden question, 651-989-9226. Or send a text. We've got a couple of those we'll pick up on, too. 81807. It's called Smart Garden here on 830 WCCO, where it's 8 below zero.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to this portion of CCO's Lawn and Garden Show. It's called Smart Garden. Julie and Diane are here. I'm not going to pressure Diane to answer any questions. Okay. She was here for another reason.
We could have a swine show.
There you go.
My brother Scott would like that.
Right. 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. If I do not, texter says, cut my flowers off my hydrangea tree, will it still flower in the summer?
Well, you should cut the dead flowers off in the spring. You don't want those on in the spring when it's starting to bloom and whatnot. So, yeah, you prune it back in the spring. Once the buds start to swell, just cut it back to, kind of trim it back to the shape you want. And just you can cut right above one of those buds in each of the stems. And then you can use the dried flowers in arrangements or wreaths or whatever you like. So
I don't think we've ever had this question before. Will stump killer work at these temperatures? Meaning below zero.
I don't think so. I think you want to read the label. Anytime you use any kind of chemical, even like a stump killer or other pesticides, is you want to read the label because there are temperature requirements. The chances are it's probably either going to freeze or it's going to roll off or not. It's not going to be absorbed.
Sure. By the way, there's a line open. We've cleared the lines if you want to use that for your lawn or garden question. 651-989-9226. Does the university question is, text, still sell the gardening calendar?
Oh, No, we don't.
Okay.
No, we don't.
I couldn't find it
2017 was the last year for the gardening calendar. There's just a huge number of calendars, and we found that people, you know, to be honest, they weren't selling.
Get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, they got to get lost in the shuffle, and a lot of people use Google Calendar, and so we're hoping to come up with, we're working on some changes to our website that will kind of replace the tips that were in the calendar and have a lot more photos too for folks. So,
and that website that we talk about all the time, that is such a great resource. I mean, you could, especially on a cold night.
I know.
You could read all about the whatever you like.
Yeah, so that's at extension.umn.edu. And click on the garden tab, go to Yard and Garden, and that will get you to the Yard and Garden page. And we have a section on pests and also on lawns and landscapes and fruits and vegetables.
I should know this, but is down in the Mankato area, is that the same zone we are at here in the Twin Cities,
yes,
more or less?
Yes, it is. And we're in the...
I know you're south, but evidently you're not that far south.
We're in the 4A zone. And so that was something, I came from another area of the country.
Where are you from?
From Indiana.
Okay.
And so it was, that's south.
Yes. How are you talking south?
and so when I came up here, it was, you know, there are several of our common flora and fauna down there that we can't grow here.
Yeah.
Speaking of, back to a temperature question. By the way, if you want to send a text, 81807, will these extreme temperatures affect, meaning kill, the Japanese beetles?
No.
No chance.
No, they really won't. Sorry. If anything, and if we have a dry spring, we may lose some of the grubs. But remember that those adults fly quite a bit. And you find, when you talk to people, you find pockets of populations around the metro and around Minnesota. They aren't up north yet, knock on wood. But you know, they might be really bad on the St. Paul campus, and they might be hardly anything out at my house in Mound. So it varies. And so dry conditions can make it less favorable for the grubs to survive in the turf. And therefore... we have fewer adults, but, you know, we've had some pretty rainy seasons, and we don't anticipate a lower population this year. We've just had really prolific Japanese beetles, so unfortunately, we'd have to have really cold, really long, cold weather way into spring, and we don't want to see any of that because there's a lot more benefits to a nice spring than there is the worry about the Japanese beetles.
Here's our phone number, 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. We always seem to get a lot of good text messages. Should, texter says, tree branches be pruned vertically or at an angle? And is now a good time to prune birch trees?
Not at an angle. I think I understand what they mean by that, like a 45-degree angle. You could take a look at our extension pruning guide. And also at some of our certified arborists' websites, they may have photos of that. But you really want to make a nice cut, nice clean cut. And an angle that sticks out where you have like a 45-degree angle can really give you a strange-looking branch. It won't heal right. Trees have the ability to create like a callus around an opening. So the tissue that's really growing a lot is around the outside of the branch and just underneath the bark. And that's the part that will callus over when a cut is made. So if you have a weird angle, you're not going to get that nice callus. So you don't want to cut at a 45-degree angle on a large branch. This is a large branch. Now, smaller branches, like where you're taking a hand pruner and you're snipping off some of the small branches, those you could cut at a 45-degree angle if you want to, say, hide the – you don't want a stumpy look. But if you're cutting major branches, and yes, you can prune your birch tree now, you might get a little bit of sap bleeding when we get to this 50-degree or 40-degree weather that we're coming up to. But you can prune it now. But you want to make a nice flat cut so that you get that donut or that callus growing around the outside of that cut. And that will help the tree to heal much faster.
Very good. 651-989-9226. Line is open. Send a text if that's what you like, 81807. And a texter wants to know, When's your next gig, Julie?
All right. Biter's Riders. Actually, we have a gig booked on January 27th out at Billy's in Rockford on Highway 55, west of the metro.
For those that don't wondering,
yeah,
what are you talking about?
O'clock.
Are you going to be doing gardening? Yeah. No, Julie's a musician.
I do have some songs about gardening.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, mango
you
tree.
Work in the, you
yeah,
work in the,
I work,
the work
in, I have a song that uses the word photosynthesis.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck rhymes with that?
Oh, you'd be surprised.
Oh, okay.
You'll have to come hear
no,
us.
No, seriously. When is the next gig?
Saturday, January 27th at Billy's in Rockford on Highway 55. We start about 8 o'clock.
Okay,
and we
very
got the
good.
Whole band there. We got Andy on lap steel and John back on drums. Gary's going to be sporting a bass and his banjo. Not at the same time. Carlos will be blowing his harmonica, and Doug and I will be strumming our guitars.
But you, I think you must have the best life in the world because you've got...
I'm a lucky person.
Not only with your gardening background...
And I get to be on your show.
I didn't mean that, but that's... but then as a musician, you guys have a lot of fun, I know.
Yeah, gardening and music.
Excellent combination.
They go well together.
All right, you guys, hang on. We'll take our usual bottom of the hour break. We do have another half hour of the show to go. So if you do want to join in with your lawn or garden question, yeah, I know it's 8 below, but we'll still feel those lawn or garden questions. It is going to be warming up this week, at least for a few days. So stay with us. 651-989-9226. That's the phone number. Or send a text, 81807. We'll pick up text messages after the break. Here on 830 WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show, brought to us every week by our friends at By the Yard Patio Furniture. Good folks, great product. Right down on 169 in Jordan, Minnesota, By the Yard. Denny Long here. Julie Wisenhorn from the U of M is here. And Diane, too. And what's Diane? What is your big title?
I'm an extension educator in swine. And so my specialty now is pigs and swine all the time.
Oh, right. That's on your card.
Yeah, it is.
I bet it is.
Livestock people are clever.
Thanks. Thanks for joining us today, and thanks for the award, too. I'm humbled by it.
And she's also a gardener.
Right.
And helps us out here. 651-989-9226. There's a line open. A lot of folks are texting, however. They find that, I think, easier, or maybe with the
thumbs aren't frozen.
That's right. Yeah. And that number is 81807 for your text messages. Lawn
yeah,
and garden
we haven't had
type.
Any calls.
Yeah, it's quiet. Huh. How do you care for Cymbidium orchids?
Ooh, good one. Oh, boy. Now, that I've talked a lot about orchids, but that is an orchid that I am not well-versed in. They like any orchid, they do want to be dried out. They don't want to be overwatered. Bright light is great, not hot. It depends, I think, also on the Cymbidium orchid. But again, that's not one that I'm super familiar with or very good at. I've had a Cymbidium orchid and sorry, it died. But so a good reference would be to visit our Orchids Limited, which is one of the premier orchid growers here in Plymouth, Minnesota. They have great information on their website. That's a go-to for me when I'm looking up information. They have great help sheets and fact sheets. And also you can look on other extension sites as well. And also the American Orchid Society, they have excellent FAQs and good fact sheets, too. So I'm sorry, I know that they do, like any orchid, they do need to be well-drained and don't like to sit in water. And but, boy, that's about all I know.
But there are some
They're
resources,
gorgeous,
though.
Gorgeous plants, yeah. And there's going to be, out at the Arboretum in February, they're going to be having some really interesting displays. Orchids will be part of it, but there'll be also other displays about food and other types of houseplants. They're going to be forcing bulbs. They're going to have a ton of great exhibits. I was talking with Ricky Garza, who's one of the gardeners out there. He oversees the conservatory, and it's going to be really exciting. So put that on your calendar to be sure to get out there. And the orchid show is at the Como Conservatory the end of this month on the 26th and 27th. So, or 27th to 28th. So go there. If you want to see a Cymbidium and other types of orchids, that's a fabulous show.
Excellent. Good info. All right, let's see. 81807, that's the text number. Folks seem to be using that a lot this morning. Here's one. My backyard butts up to a swamp, and the flower garden I have back there is getting taken over by thistles. What can I do, one, to get them out of the garden, and two, keep them from moving in from the swamp?
Yeah, thistles.
We've had a thistle question before.
Thistles,
I guess they are. Huh?
Yeah, they have a long tap root, and if you don't get all of that tap root out, new plants will shoot up from that little piece of plant material that's left in the soil, and in fact, they seem to come back stronger. So with thistle, probably the best thing to do is to kind of depends on how many there are. Certainly, if you can dig them out, that's great. Depends, again, if you can get down there and get that root out. You have to be pretty diligent about it. You can also apply a broadleaf herbicide. And there's a new type, and I'm sorry, a new type of glyphosate, which is an active ingredient in Roundup. And that glyphosate is in a kind of a gel formulation that you can specifically target the plant. I think, if I understand correctly, it's almost like a roll-on, like a deodorant. That
kind
of thing.
Specific.
Yeah, so you're not spraying.
Right.
And you're not going to get drift, and you're not going to affect other plants nearby, but you can really target that particular plant. And one thing about that herbicide is that you need to leave plant tissue in place. So you don't want to completely cut the thistle down, but to treat a whole bunch of the leaves at the base, and then more of that herbicide will translocate into the root and the rest of the plant and kill it. So that's one. I think that's a pretty conservative way to use herbicide. And to also attack the thistles. Triclopyr is another type, but that you'll have to either paint on with a paintbrush and whatnot to really target those plants, or you'll have to spray it. So,
all right, interesting.
Spraying is tricky, particularly if you're not a licensed pesticide applicator who's gone through the training for that. So if you can do anything to really just target those weeds like that, that's the way to go. So.
Texter couldn't resist, and I can't resist reading it. With 45 below, did the people in Embarrass, Minnesota get rid of their creeping Charlie?
We'll have to. Somebody from Embarrass, please call in or text.
Yes. That was our creeping Charlie question of the show.
I had a creeping Charlie question
this week,
too.
You did.
From one of our avid listeners. Yeah, Greg.
81807, 81807. If you like a lot of folks, they love to send the text gardening questions via text, so do that. Texter says this, a 5-year-old gooseberry bush, how do I trim that back compared to the first year?
So gooseberry, of course, are grown for their fruit, which is delicious and makes great jelly and jam and gooseberry pies and all sorts of things. You would want to take that plant down. That needs to be rejuvenated periodically, meaning that it's taken down to about 12 inches high or so. And then also to trim out the old branches. So some of those, it's a bramble. It gets really big. It's super prickly. So be sure to wear long leather gloves and long pants and boots and all that stuff so that you don't get stuck with the prickles. But you want to get in there and you want to trim out. You want to get light to the other parts of the plant, and you want to trim out the old dead canes. That's one of the that aren't productive anymore. So you'll need to do that in the spring before the leaves all fill in. It's really hard to see if it's leafy, so don't wait till it leaves out. And then get in and take out those old canes, open up the plant a little bit, cut it down, cut it back, and that should help with the rejuvenation.
81807 is the text number, and here's one. It says, is it too early to prune our apple tree next week?
Yeah, I'd wait on that still. You could probably do it. You really want to be doing that just before it breaks dormancy. So we recommend late winter, end of March or so. And by the way, on the Extension site is an awesome array of publications about fruit trees, berries, all sorts of things, edible. And that's under our fruit sections at extension.umn.edu. Click on the garden tab, go to Yard and Garden, and go to fruits. And we have some excellent publications about pruning and pest management and apple varieties, all sorts of stuff, particularly about apples, but also about berries, different kinds of berries, and stone fruits and you name it.
I know, and you guys have told me before, too, that website gets a lot of hits, a lot of views.
Yeah, I think it was 8.6 million visits in 2016, 2017.
Yeah.
Right there. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
past
amazing.
Year. Yeah. Wow. Highest trafficked extension page.
In the country?
No, Minnesota. I don't know about the country.
Let's who's going to argue? Who's counting?
Oh, you never know who's listening.
Yeah, that's true.
But it is the highest highest visited in the Minnesota extension.
Nice congratulatory comment from somebody who also wants to know, is it too late to put mulch on my garden?
I wouldn't mulch right now.
I'm looking at the temperature and I thought,
not. First of all, you'll have snow under it or ice, and I would just wait and mulch when the soil warms up and you get your weeds out and kind of tidy up your garden. That's a good time to mulch.
And yeah, because they said they had bagged, I didn't see this, they had bagged leaves, but they did not get to it,
it. Yeah.
So
yeah, I would just wait.
Okay. Very good. 651, if you want to call in, folks are doing that, 651-989-9226, or send a text, 81807. And I'll tell you what, we're about due for a quick break, so let's do that, Julie. We come back, we'll have more Smart Garden Show.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show here on 830 WCCO. We are around every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour, welcoming your phone calls and your text messages.
So many text messages.
Yeah, we've got a bunch. We have a bunch of callers as well. Should we do the phones for a change?
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Let's do that first one up there.
All right, Kim's calling from Waseca with a question. Kim, good morning.
Good morning. I have a 20 by 20 garden that is tested high on phosphorus and potash, and I have access to liquid hog manure, and I am wondering how much I should put on and when.
Well, thanks, Kim. That's a good question. When we're talking about liquid hog manure, we're applying it in ag land, crop land, and we put on about 4,000 gallons per acre. That's sort of an average, and so it wouldn't take very much. But the thing is, if you're testing high in phosphorus, the liquid hog manure is going to be high in phosphorus as well. It's not going to, that probably isn't the thing to do. There would be other manures that would be a better choice for the garden. Generally, a good composted poultry or bovine manure might work better.
Okay.
Because they're eating a lot of grass and they're higher in nitrogen.
Right.
Okay, thanks. I don't think we've ever had a question like that before.
That's a good one.
All right. Thanks, Kim.
Kim grabbed an opportunity there to talk to a pro.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't have known what to answer.
Judy.
Diane's here.
Judy's calling from Clear Lake with a question. Judy, what is your question, please?
My question is, I have a young apple tree where last year I had the first set of apples hanging from them about a bushel basket's worth. And about September, the whole tree tilted at a 45-degree angle in one day from gophers chewing the roots.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that was exciting. So my question is, I staked it upright, and this year I would like to sprinkle that castor oil granular around the root base, hoping to keep the gophers away. But will that affect, will it make my apples unedible?
Mm. Oh, boy, that's a great question. So this is a granular. So is it a systemic, meaning that is it something that's taken up, or is it a repellent in the soil to just keep the gophers away?
It's a repellent.
Okay, so it's not something – it's not going to change the taste of the apples, I doubt. I very much doubt that, because you'd be looking at a systemic in that case. A systemic is a some kind of pesticide that or repellent that's taken up by the roots. It's dissolved in the soil through watering, taken up through the roots of the tree or the plant, and then the plant has some kind of flavor or smell or emits that will deter animals. Repellex is an example of something that's designed to repel deer through the use of hot pepper, the compound capsaicin. So I don't think it's going to affect the apples. My bigger concern is the roots being gone to the point where the tree tipped over. That's pretty serious. So what I would say is and you probably have already staked up the tree, is to take a look at our publication on staking trees and pruning and look at that for a good example of how to do it properly. And then be sure that the tree is mulched and that it's cared for. Be sure you water it if we're not getting rain. Mulch the roots to protect them from mechanical damage, keep the soil moisture in, etc. As far as repelling the gophers, I think you could probably put down a repellent like that. Now, I'm not familiar with that kind, but you may want to change it up too. You might want to have a couple of different repellents. You might want to do some fencing to make sure other animals don't get near that young tree and, you know, start chewing on the bark above the soil. And that's probably going to do the best to keep the gophers out of there. They're hard to get rid of because they're tunneling underground. So keep an eye out for their tunnels. And then take a look at our wildlife section on gophers. John Logarine up in Crookston, he was on the show a long time ago. He has some good information, too, so you could look at his website. It's John Logarine, L-O-E-G-E-R-I-N-G.
Okay.
Is his last name.
Very good.
Take a look at that. But, yeah, that's tough when they're underground.
My guess.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Judy. Well, let's go to Rachel, who's calling from Cold Spring, Minnesota. Go ahead, Rachel. Oh, I think Rachel's taken her leave. How about Melanie, who's calling from St. Cloud? Melanie, you're on CCO.
Yes, living northwest of the cities, we're on what we call the Milka sand plains.
Sure.
They're really well-drained soils. And I have a problem with evergreen shrubs. Around my house, they never thrive. Some of mine are like 10 years old. They never grow. They never thrive. Some of my, like my cypress ones, you know, they start to brown in the center and things like that. Is there something, some fertilizer or something that they're missing that I need to work with them better? You know, I try to keep them watered, you know, just basic, you know, Miracle Grow type fertilizer,
sure.
But it just, they never thrive. They never really grow. They're just the same as when I bought them from the store.
Okay. So evergreens require full sun, with the exception of yews. And so that might be part of it. So I think it's a combination of things. One is the soil around foundations of houses is usually pretty poor. It's usually a lot of construction stuff down below, and it's very dry. It's very shady. Hardest conditions to grow in, and evergreens in particular need moist soil and soil that's rich in organic matter. So and then also they need full sun. So if they're not in full sun, they're probably not getting enough sunlight, and so they're kind of peaked. They're just not doing very well. And they do require more acidic soil in a lot of cases, so you would want to buy an evergreen shrub or evergreen tree type fertilizer. So you want to go and find a particular fertilizer for evergreens. And so what I would do with the soil is I would mix in this spring, as soon as you can work the soil, mix in some good quality compost. And then I would make a point of watering those plants. I'd set up a drip hose maybe so that they're getting enough moisture on a regular basis. You can put that drip hose right at the base of the plants so it reaches the root system. And then feed those plants. Read the package and feed the plants. I think it's once a month or once every 3 weeks or something. I'm not sure. It depends on what it is. And feed them with that. I would use a liquid, actually. You could use a granular, too. You could put in, mix that in the soil if you want to, if you're not going to be able to keep up on that if you're leaving town or something. But that's what I would do is try. You've got to make that environment as beneficial as possible. Now that you can't do anything about the sun, and you're just going to have to see if these other two, you know, mixing in that soil and enriching it, and then also feeding them with a fertilizer for evergreens, is that going to, you know, help? Regardless of the amount of sun, you may end up losing the plants, and then you'd want to choose a plant that will grow better in that condition.
All right. We have a little less than 2 minutes to go, and I want to grab, and maybe Diane, if you have any ideas here. Texter says, we want to create a small flower garden in an area that gets full sun. The bed backs up to a chain link fence. with a wild shore of a pond behind it. We are, quote, lazy gardeners, getting old, busy with work, too. So could you recommend some easy-to-care-for perennials that would be colorful? Also, how about the how and what fertilizer for that bed?
Wow.
Any ideas on perennials for a lazy gardener?
What's your favorite perennials?
Well, are
you a lazy gardener? I think I am.
I like Monarda because you can get that in a lot of different colors, and that's one that can be a red flower, and that really pops in a grouping.
And it's pretty. It's really resilient too.
Correct. Yeah, and it seems like it probably attracts some.
I planted it for butterflies.
Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorites, and another one that has kind of taken over our garden is the phlox that reseeds itself.
Oh, sure.
It really, it's beautiful when it's. You know, you kind of want to try to keep it under control, though, because it can take over, too.
Well, and yeah, Julie, as we head out of here, and thank you, Diane, for that great award. I'm very humbled by it.
Congratulations.
And thanks, Julie. Website?
extension.umn.edu. Click on the Garden tab. Go to Yard and Garden.
Somebody wants to know the name of your band.
The Abiders.
The Abiders. You'll be appearing at?
At Billy's in Rockford on January 27th.
Somebody sent a text. They got some pretty good chicken wings there.
I guess they have great everything. Okay. They're a great place.
Good deal. Thank you both.
Thanks,
Danny.